do. Give me the sunshine, give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends, give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew!
Last night, we learned the sad news that at the age of 92, Phyllis Schlafly had passed away, a woman who was well known for taking on the icons of the left, especially the media, from time to time.
It is possible for the people to defeat the entire political and media establishment and to win despite incredible odds.
Well, joining us on the line right now is Ann Coulter, who is joining us to talk about the life and times of Phyllis Schlafly, her legacy. Why was she so important in conservative circles, Ann?
Well, she was much more than most people think. Most of her writing was on the military for years, massive attacks, this 800-page book on Henry Kissinger. She was a big proponent of high frontier very early on, and something I didn't put and I should have put in the obituary, I wrote it about 10 years ago for Human Events, when she was in her 80s, it's so weird that she's passed away. She's like an American institution. I thought she'd go on forever, but she was 92 and still extremely active. She was, my oldest brother was in high school doing debates at a place called the Source Library in Stamford, Connecticut, and they had invited Phyllis Schlafly to speak. Her big thing was about the military back then. And my brother John wanted her to debate the Equal Rights Amendment, which at that point she hadn't heard of. But when she found out about it, she was quite anxious to debate the subject. So he's like the little girl who told Abraham Lincoln he should grow a beard, first alerting Phyllis Schlafly to one of her greatest battles. And it was the Equal Rights Amendment was sailing through Congress. It was one of these feel-good measures that no one had thought through. What passed with 80% in the Senate, 80% of the House in the first year, it got about 30 state ratifications, just needed a few more to go, and that you have 7 years to get the other state ratifications. It was endorsed by the Republican National Platform, the Democratic National Platform, Republican presidents, their wives, a slew of Hollywood celebrities. But once Phyllis Schlafly came out against it, it was just a juggernaut to stop it. So in the next 7 years, and the feminists went and, or proponents, I should say, of the ERA, went and got an unconstitutional extension of the amount of time needed for ratification, yet and still, I think 5 more states ratified, but at the same time, Phyllis Schlafly got 5 states to rescind their earlier ratifications. And it was, she would write these beautiful columns on that and other issues that took very complicated issues. She was extremely smart. She was almost admitted to Harvard back before Harvard Law was admitting women, just because her professors in graduate school thought she was so brilliant. But she made it look, she would explain things very simply to busy people, housewives, politicians, making arguments that, years later that you'd then read in Yale Law journals. They were serious arguments, but she made them in a very simple way, which is how she mobilized this great grassroots movement to keep beating the elites.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about how Phyllis Schlafly should be credited with Ronald Reagan's presidency. We talk about her as an icon of the conservative movement, but really she's an icon of American history. Can you kind of give the audience some details about why the Reagan presidency really was a result of her book, A Choice on an Echo, and the Barry Goldwater candidacy?
Well, it's interesting, especially this year, when we're seeing a lot of the same thing, where you have the elites against the populace, though she had ended an earlier iteration of that. It was more, the Rockefeller Republicans, pro-abortion, pro-big business, and not, we're all for business, but not in a good way. And she wrote the book, A Choice, Not an Echo, which sold an astonishing 3 million copies. I have a couple of the originals. They were 25 cents, little paperback, and it was an argument against the kingmakers imposing these candidates on us, who were not representing average, everyday Americans. And although I would argue that Barry Goldwater, a cranky libertarian, was an extremely imperfect vessel for that message.
Right.
The main thing it accomplished was taking the power away from the Northeastern elites, whom she called the kingmakers.
Well, Anne, the story of Phyllis Schlafly, I think, is a lot more we're going to hear in the next day or so as we think back and remember on her life and her legacy. Thank you, Anne Coulter, for joining us so early this morning. We greatly appreciate it. 7:53 on WMAL.